In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. We need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. Go to podsurvey.com/firstdegree and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers that you won't want to skip. And once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/firstdegree. podsurvey.com/firstdegree. Thanks for your help. Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. I am joined here today by two extremely hungover people. They're nursing a two-day hangover from Crime Con. Are you guys alive?
I'm better today, but I'm not great. I was in really bad shape yesterday. I almost threw up like five times on the way home.
So today we're recording on Tuesday for this week, Thursday's Killing Time. So you guys got back on Monday.
Monday, yes.
And you had a Monday hangover.
We had a Monday hangover. There was a lot of, you know, when we were pretty amazed. Like she called me and
I was in my hotel room and I was like, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
And it was like 9 a.m.
And I was almost like, let's get a later flight, but we rallied and,
I was like crying when I was packing, like literally crying because I was so miserable. And I was like, now I want to die. And then I was so hungover that Billy got me alcohol and I couldn't drink it.
Yes.
He got me a high noon and then he got me, and I was like, I can't drink this. And then he got me beer and I'm like, I can't drink this. And then he got me food. I was like, I can't eat this. And normally those are all the things that like help.
Yeah.
I was done.
That's how we knew.
No.
That's how we knew that it was a bad one. Yeah. But you know what? We rallied, we got there, we had a time, and you all can hear about the CrimeCon adventures on the Patreon because we're doing a CrimeCon wrap up. I will say this.
Like a Truth Serum CrimeCon edition.
Truth Serum CrimeCon episode, but I will say this. This is the best thing that happened in CrimeCon. This is definitely because of the true crime community and I believe Firsties, because the bars at Paris ran out of Aperol.
Everyone was drinking Aperol spritzes. I was the whole time, but then people were like, Alexis, Aperol spritz. I was like, yeah, but I was like, bitches, now there aren't anymore. They ran out the whole hotel.
I know.
Ran out. Yeah, it was so good.
I was definitely drinking with you in spirit because I went out to brunch on Saturday and the place that I was at brunch also ran out of Aperol. So I might have drank them out of Aperol with my two Aperol spritzes that I had.
People, get it together. Get your bar managers in check. Order that shit in advance.
Yeah. They're very trendy. So like Billy said, we haven't recorded it yet. So I really don't know anything that happened at CrimeCon. We're doing it after this. We'll have our wrap up coming out next week of all of the adventures and misadventures that you guys had at CrimeCon. And I'm so excited to see what the fuck happened.
And how the ghost of Jack haunted us the whole time.
Yes. And then took her revenge too. And the funny thing was, is that Alexis was ordering her Aperol spritzes light. And every bartender knew it. So whenever I would go up and order a drink, they'd be like, light, we know. You know what I mean? Because that's what, so really she was ordering it the Jack Vanek way.
Yeah.
And they still ran out. So we knew that there were a lot more firsties too. It wasn't
I was
just
rationing and they still ran out.
Alexis was rationing the Aperol. That's true.
Though, you know, like a lot of the firsties that have tried the Aperol spritz hate it.
I can't believe that. But you know what? It takes time. You have to try it again in like 6 months. Because remember when I introduced it to the group, everyone was like, ew, I had like my own bottle of Aperol at like a getaway. And like I was making them myself, pitchers just for me. And no one liked it.
You also have to find your ratio of Aperol to champagne to soda water that you personally feel good about. You know what I mean? Every person's different. Mm-hmm. Anytime I say I'm ordering them light, they still bring them way too strong with Aperol. So it's like, that's a personal journey that you must go on yourself. You have to find the Aperol, like how it speaks to you by it's like a walkabout.
There's also a chance. There's also a chance your bartender is making it wrong, and if they're making it wrong, because like I've seen people with like Aperol, just Aperol and soda water. That's what they think it is.
I know.
And it's like, you could have gotten a bad one. That's not a true Aperol spritz. So you got to read the back of the bottle. You got to watch them make it. You got to take, you know, take autonomy over your drink, over your drinks.
Take it into your own hands.
That's right.
So there was a lot. Yes, there was a lot of Aperol. The Aperol was gone by Sunday. But there was a lot of other things that were going on. And you're going to hear all about it on the Patreon.
Yes, that's right. Coming out next Tuesday. Okay, well, what day is it today, Billy?
Well, today is May 5th, and in 1821, the dark day, Napoleon died in exile.
Ooh.
Now, Napoleon was the former French ruler. He once ruled, the empire actually stretched all across Europe, and he died in a British prison on the remote island of St. Helena in the southern Atlantic Ocean. Now, he rose through the ranks. He established the Napoleonic Code, which is a new system of French law. And he was crowned Emperor of France in 1807. Now, this empire was gigantic, or as I would say, huge.
Huge. I can't believe it's as recent as 1807. I always think of Napoleon as like 1400s.
Yeah, nope. There is like a... Yeah.
Because that's not that far away.
It's because when you think about the 18th, like what he's wearing is very over the top.
Well, it's like Renaissance.
Well, it's like it's recent enough where like when I use my newspaper archive searches, like I can see papers back to 1830s. Like it's not so to think about like this was in the early 1800s. It's like I just always think of him as being much more ancient.
Yes, yes.
So everything was going well, and then what does he do? Just like Hitler did 100 years later, he invaded Russia. That was a disaster. He lost Spain to the Duke of Wellington in the Peninsula War.
Peninsula.
And then he was eventually exiled to the island of Elba. He escaped to France in early 1815. He rose up another army, and then he had the crushing defeat at Waterloo against Wellington. Wellington, we now know as Beef Wellington, which is a very good... and Waterloo, we know from the ABBA song.
Yes.
There you go. Well, also Waterloo is a place in the Bahamas.
Okay.
A nightclub.
They said he...
I thought it was like a city in the Bahamas. It's a nightclub.
It's a nightclub in Nassau. Yeah.
So he died... he was eventually exiled to another island because that's what you did back then. They think he died of stomach cancer. And his body was returned to Paris... And it was interred in a Hotel des Invalides, which I guess is a hotel for invalids. I guess that's what they're calling it back then.
Sounds like hospice care.
It does sound a little bit like that. But but that's Napoleon. We are going to get into, in True Crime Rewind, we are going to talk about the history of the Napoleon complex.
Which I found to be so fascinating when I was going through this whole thing. And it does go back to the fact a lot of it was... in the print that
propaganda.
Really
yes.
That was bad propaganda for Napoleon.
Yes.
So we're going to jump into that. But what is the true crime in real time for today?
True crime in real time is a case that's unfolding as we speak. A female sheriff was transporting a prisoner and they both went missing.
And okay, then, and I've got the tea on this because I've been following.
And I haven't heard about this yet, so I'm excited to learn about it from you two, you people.
So this is actually a Alabama corrections official who's missing, and her name is Vicky White, and she worked for the Department of Corrections there for 17 years. And last week, she was transporting a inmate named Casey White. Same last name, no relation. That's just a coincidence.
That's weird.
And apparently, she said that she was taking Casey White to a court appearance. They do this, and then they disappear. And they find the car, which she was being transported in, abandoned. And at first, it really seemed like maybe something bad had happened, except... when they started digging in, there was no court appointment for him that day. That was like the first clue. But still, like, they gave her the benefit of the doubt because in his history, he had, I guess, planned an escape attempt. And one of his plans was to take a hostage during his escape. And he was super violent and he tried to escape before, so much so that protocol was that two officers were meant to escort him to every hearing. But the reporting initially gave her the benefit of the doubt. And slowly... all these facts came to light, like she'd sold her house very recently. That day she transported him and disappeared was meant to be her last day on the job. She put in papers for retirement. And now they're saying, without a doubt, she helped him escape. They have a romantic relationship. And I think yesterday or the day before, they filed an indictment against her, charging her for this. So these two are on the run. They're missing.
Whoa.
They haven't caught her yet.
So they're gone. Wow.
They can't find... Well, there's a massive manhunt for them. He is apparently... He's been charged and convicted with capital murder. He's murdered a woman before. I think he attempted to murder another. Don't quote me on that. I don't know his background as much as I've been intrigued by her helping him, because I think these dynamics are so fascinating. Like, yeah. We saw it in Escape from Dannemora, that TV show that Patricia Arquette played the villain in that one, or the anti-hero, whatever we're going to call her. And this has happened before, where she helped two inmates escape the Dannemora prison in upstate New York. It never ends well. It never ends well.
I know. Where do they think they're going to go? How do they think that they're just going to live this, like, normal?
Your homie doesn't have a passport, lady. Your homie doesn't have a passport. So, like, what are you guys going to do?
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to get across the border? You know, they're either going north or south. They're trying to go to Canada or they're going to Mexico, because, like, the U.S. is landlocked by that. They can't get on a boat. So, I mean, I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. You just hope, Vicky White, that he doesn't turn on you and kill you, because he is a murderer of women.
Yep.
Yeah. And he very well could be using it, like saying, I'm going to be with you, being a Romeo. And then she finally gets him to a place in Tijuana, and then he does away with it.
Men do this shit all the time, pretending that they, like, are into women for X or Y reason. So it wouldn't really surprise me if she was just a pawn in the whole thing at the end of the day anyways.
That's right. He's a sociopath.
Wow. Well, that's crazy. Maybe by the time this airs in 2 days, we'll have some updates, but
I'm surprised it's even taken them this long, to be honest.
Crazy.
So crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy story. All right. Well, when we come back, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. I think everybody knows how this goes by now, so I'm not going to explain it to you. Who would like to go first, or should I?
You go first.
Okay. On the stand today for me is the espresso martini. Now, you know, it took me a while to get on board with the espresso martini because I'm not a vodka drinker. I get allergic reaction when I drink vodka. So recently I've been told that you can make an espresso martini with tequila.
What?
And yes. And the espresso is so strong that it kind of cuts the tequila taste, and you can't really taste the alcohol in an espresso martini at all. That's why it's so freaking good, because the espresso just, like, outweighs everything. So I have recently been starting, if I'm going to have, like, a day and I'm starting with brunch, I'm eating some food along with this coffee alcohol concoction, I love it. It's like the adult vodka Red Bull. Mm-hmm. It's so good. And I am all for it. I'm not a cocktail drinker, but this is the one that I can really get on board with.
I'm honestly blown away.
Why?
Just because that sounds so gross.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you had one?
I don't drink coffee. But I was just talking to Billy at,
we were talking to someone
who's a bartender, and she's like, why are these things coming back? Yeah. They're the most disgusting. She's like, people ask her to make them all the time, and she was the one complaining about them. And I was like, it sounds like such a headache in, like, a bottle to me.
Oh no.
Especially with tequila, that sounds even worse than vodka.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be made with vodka. Like, nobody, it's not like it's supposed to be made with the tequila, but you can. And I just have to say, don't knock it until you try it. It gives you the jolt of energy that you really need to start your day off right.
You know, like, what? I will say this. So Esquire called it the drink of 2022. Like, this is the drink that we need. We want to go out, but we still need to get into the hang of it because of the pandemic. I will say, as the, you know, very minority owner of a bar that has a coffee shop underneath it called
1/100th.
Yes. That's called Bathtub Gin, by the way. It's on Melrose in Los Angeles. We have a coffee shop.
Still never been there.
We have a coffee shop and we have a bar, a speakeasy up top. And that is our signature drink pretty much, other than, like, the gin drinks, because it makes it there. The reason why the bartenders hate it is because they actually have to have coffee or an espresso machine or something like that. So they have to deal with other stuff and wait for it to, you know, heat up and everything. So,
yeah. It's just, it's really good. It's the adult vodka Red Bull. Like, what else are you going to drink if you need, like, a little pep in your step? and you don't run to take an Adderall, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's what you do. So I...
Not like Adderall works either. Not on me.
For some people.
I'm impervious to any stimulant.
Well, I used to like have a coffee. Like if I was going out, like doing like a day drinking kind of thing, I would have like a coffee and then also my cocktail. So it's basically combining the two.
I do remember that. Like when we go to brunch, you would get a coffee and you would do that. I think when in Vegas you do that. I'm always floored by people who drink coffee like after they drank the night before too. It's just wild.
And it doesn't do me any well, but like something's got to get the intestines moving and coffee is the only thing.
All right. Espresso martini. I'm going to say not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty. I mean, I'm not going to stop you, Jack. And I love when you get a little pep in your step.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Who's next?
I'll go. You know, this is one of the things that, and I'm sure I've talked about this before. I don't know if I've ever put it on the stand, but when somebody brings out a guitar at a bar.
People do that?
And they say, no, not like a, no, like that there's a person that's supposed to, and listen, follow your dreams, everything, I'm all about it. But when I see somebody setting up with a guitar and a little amp at a bar, I know my night is going to be not as good as it would have been if I were just listening to. Because it's always really loud. It's a song that you know, but it's not quite as good as the song. Yes. Unless, you know what I mean? And it's not like, and you know, I feel so bad about that. Please follow your dream. But I'm, you know, if you're there, you know, drinking a $15 cocktail or something like that,
you're
it's
gone.
Just not, it's just not something that you want. And I, so a lot of times you'll feel it in the background. You feel it. It's coming behind you, you know? And I remember being in, I literally put this in the new book where a guy behind me starts playing The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which is a Gordon Lightfoot song, which is just so horrible to begin with. And I just was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And I don't even think I finished my beer. I was done.
What you should have put on the stand is somebody that busts out a guitar at a party, like a house party. Like that is truly despicable. Like, you know that you're at the wrong place when a random person busts out the guitar, because it's never somebody that really plays guitar well. Like Jared would never do that. That would be his worst nightmare to be forced.
No, because that's Jared's actual job.
Yeah.
So that's like us being at a party and me and Alexis going, we're going to investigate a crime for the next 3 hours and you're going to watch us.
Well, Jared doesn't need that kind of attention because he plays in front of thousands of adoring fans on a stage with a fan blowing his hair around. Like,
that is
if you need
too.
A rock star, like mojo energy, like Jared's got all of it. It's only dum-dums who need to do it at a party.
Because that's all they're, that's what they're going to get.
That's their like, only that's audience the in their whole life.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
I
don't mind it at a bar. Like, I love live music, like in any setting. And a lot of the times, some of these people that play it like I love like live music at a restaurant or if you're at a winery, something chill. I don't want, or it depends on where I am. You know what? I'm actually usually into live music, but sometimes those people are really talented.
I think that sometimes they absolutely are really talented too. I think it's the singing that always breaks it up. I think if you're just doing the
instrumental
the guitar,
only,
instrumental only, play Wonderwall to your heart's content.
Music only.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think, Lex?
I'm going to say guilty because that's just way too distracting. Like if I'm trying to have a conversation and then all of a sudden there's lyrics being sung aloud in an ear behind me, like then I can't focus on the conversation I'm having.
Yeah, I get
it. All right. Okay. So guilty.
I'm saying not guilty.
Lex. Guilty.
I mean, I'll say guilty.
But follow your dreams. In
follow
your
dreams. All right. Lex. All right.
So this is something I'm defending. We were in Vegas and me and Billy were walking around as we do, and we passed a bar and had all these open windows. It's like within a casino, but it was a bar. And it, to me, I was drawn to it because I saw two pianos facing each other and a duel was happening. And I was
that's my dream.
Let's go in there. This looks fucking awesome. A dueling piano bar. And Billy's like, nope, hate it. Hate dueling piano bars.
Oh.
And I was like, are you serious? There's literally nothing. You're from Long Island, Billy Joel. Like, there's literally nothing better than a dueling piano situation. And I was blown away. And I was like, other people can't feel this way. Like, they incite so much joy. Mm.
Yes.
So I'm defending dueling piano bars as like one of the last remaining
sources of happiness
in the world.
Yes. Oh my God. I love dueling piano bars. There's this one of my favorite bars in the entire world. It's called Pete's. It's on 6th Street in Austin, Texas. It's so fun. I think dueling piano bars get the vibe up. Like, they get the people ready to party. It's basically like doing karaoke with a group. It's so much fun. There's nothing that I actually love more than a dueling piano bar.
Me too. And just how good the piano people are. They don't even look at their hands and they're playing like Billy Joel. And they're like so into it. It's like theatrical.
Yeah.
And they're like getting really competitive with the other piano, like who can do it better. And I'm like, this is the fucking shit. Like, yeah. It's culture, it's art, it's fun, it's community. There's booze, there's merriment, there's all the favorite banger hits that's in a bar. Like, you get Living on a Prayer, you and get Tiny Dancer.
They're only playing the hits. They don't want right. to play a snooze because then they're not going to get the tips.
They play Eagle Eye Cherry Save Tonight. They play, frankly, anything you want for just like $10. You can have your dreams come true.
Which hotel was this in? Paris?
Yeah, Paris has one.
Wow.
Or I don't know if it's Paris or Bally's. It's like the corridor between them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it was like, looked sick. And Billy was like, no, we're not going in there.
Oh, so you didn't even go.
Alexis also wanted to go on a gondola ride too. So
in Venice.
No. I had to do one of those recently because it was part of a social post. Would not recommend. I was also kind of so hungover and it was the last thing I ever wanted to do.
No. Yeah. It also smells sort of like sewage in there.
It's kind of like they got
Venice right a little bit. There's some parts of Venice that's amazing, but there are some parts that are like that. So
yeah.
All right, dueling piano bars. I'm going to say guilty with extreme prejudice.
No, you should actually recuse yourself from this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Me and Jack will be voting not guilty.
Okay, fine.
Not guilty.
All right.
All right, well, this is good. I think that all of these, there's going to be some differing opinions for all of said things on the stand. I love it. All right, well, when we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to True Crime Rewind. We're talking about Napoleon, Napoleon Complex. We were just at, this is, you know, we just got back from Paris, Alexis and I, after, I believe we conquered Paris at our panel on Long Island Serial Killer. And Jack, you were very much missed, but I think Crime Con, we are going to definitely conquer Orlando. And we can conquer all the, because that'll be Epcot, so we can conquer all of the countries. So now I do have one. So we were going to talk about the Napoleon Complex, but I want to talk about I want to lead with the big story.
Okay.
Did you know that Russia's greatest Napoleonic reenactor was once found drunk in a river with the severed arms of his lover in his backpack?
Oh, my God.
That's terrible. I don't know why this hasn't. This is so awful. So his name was Oleg Sokolov. He was dressed in. He was supposed to, you know, be in his full Napoleonic costume. Instead, he was fished out of the river. He had a backpack containing a woman's severed arms. Then he was recovering from hypothermia in a hospital. He was 63 years old, an assistant professor in history, and he was one of the preeminent scholarly reenactors of the Napoleonic Wars. Now, one of his students, 24-year-old Anastasia Yashchenko, he dismembered her body, decapitated her body, was found in his apartment, And then he got really drunk and jumped into the river with her arms in the backpack.
My God.
He confessed to it. He said that it was a crime of St. Petersburgian passion that had parallels to Dostoevsky's novel Crime and Punishment, the use of an axe, that kind of thing. So he said it. He did it in a fit of rage, then entertained guests later that day while the body was in a room behind a closed door. This is according to the Washington Post.
What is so whack? Psycho. When was this?
This is like 2019.
Oh my God! So recently.
Yeah. This is recent. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yikes, dude!
Totally so, yikes.
Horrible.
So there you go. It's not known whether he actually, you know, was short, because we're going to get into the whole Napoleonic complex and where this came from.
Yes.
So the Napoleonic complex is named after Napoleon. Now everybody thinks that Napoleon was short, so it's attributed to short people, and it's saying that if somebody is particularly short for the average height of their country or wherever, they get a particular type of behavior that is overly aggressive or domineering.
And it's to overcompensate for their small stature.
Right, yes. Exactly. Now, so let's go back to where this actually came from. Now, in 1803, the Brits, who have always not liked the French, they were dealing with this guy. And they mocked him as being this short-tempered small guy. Apparently, some historians think he was like 5'7", which was an inch or so higher than the average male height at the time. Some said he might have been 5'2". And he also hung out with all of his guards, who were really big. But he probably was of normal height or maybe even tall for his age. But what happened is that there is a British cartoonist named James Gilray who would always draw him as a short guy who is like a little maniac raving little madman type of thing, like a wearing boots that were like too big for him, and he's just like all upset, and he was like banging his fists, and gave him the nickname Little Boney.
Little
Boney. Yeah.
What a bummer for him.
Dude, what a fucking bummer that your normal height, like that was normal height for back in the day. And it's all because of this like British propaganda that is just like this little squirt.
And then
like,
it became this, fact.
Yes, then it became fact.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like.
Poor Napoleon. Let's empathize. This world dominating megalomaniac.
It is kind of amazing because I think that, like, he said some quote. Oh, man, I don't know where it is, Billy. It's somewhere in this doc. But he basically was like, it all was from this one guy. This, like, one. They're all, like, political cartoons or whatever that they're, like, throwing in the papers. And at the end of his life, I think he was like, he did more damage to me than, like, anything else in my life. Like, he really just hit him where it hurt, like, right in the ego, calling this guy, like, a little shrimp.
Little bony.
And like that ruined his life. Like that was the nail in the coffin that really set it off.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, it's considered one of the most famous political cartoons of all time. It was a cartoon called Plum Pudding in Danger. And it's a picture of Napoleon and the British Prime Minister sort of carving up the world. Like, this is how we're going to carve up all of these different countries. And Napoleon is really, really tiny compared to the British guy.
He's standing. Like, the other guy's just sitting in a seat. He's standing, and he's only up to basically the guy's waist. And he just looks like a little kid. Which is so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here for this.
That's where it came from. Now, as far as there was, you know, so this has been used as, okay, this person has a Napoleon complex if it's a shorter, usually gentleman. I've never really heard it used with a woman before. I don't know if you guys have had.
No.
But there was a.
That doesn't exist for women.
In a
they're
university.
It's called like a firecracker if you're like a tiny.
No, there's all sorts of awful names if women are like assertive and.
But yeah. Like for a short, there's nothing like that's like Napoleon complex for a woman for like a short.
Yeah, that's true. Feisty.
Well, there was so the University of Central Lancashire, which is in Britain too. So in 2007, they did they found that the Napoleon complex was the myth, and they discovered that short men were less likely to lose their temper than men of average height. How did they discover this?
Yeah, what do they do? What kind of things are they doing?
Okay, the experiment involved subjects dueling each other with sticks, with one subject deliberately rapping the other man's knuckles.
Interesting. Oh,
and then the heart monitors would actually sense that the taller men were pissed, and then they would hit back more than the shorter men.
My favorite part of this experiment was done in 2007. Like, this sounds like something that was probably done back in the 1800s when Napoleon was around, like hitting each other with sticks. Where are they finding these sticks? Are they going out and just like grabbing a twig and being like duel with each other? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Who funded this study? Like, who, when there's cancer and all these other things to be solved, like, who was like, this is where our resources should go?
And this, who decided is, that's the answers study
we need?
Because you usually figure like the Napoleon, like a lot of, you would think about it maybe like with women or like being macho, kind of like one-upping each other.
Like, if you were the boss of a company, like how you, like if, are you like tyrannical? Are you, you know, mm-hmm. berating or whatever, belligerent?
Yeah. But no. Like, they're like, okay, stand next to each other and hit each other's and knuckles each other. With a
and
stick.
Then you hit their knuckles, but the other one doesn't. Then that happens. Now, yeah. There was another one, this guy, Abraham Bunk, great name for a professor.
Cool name, Bunk.
Yes. Yeah. He did not debunk it. He actually said, you know what? I found evidence that there is such a thing.
Did he create the word debunk?
Debunk?
That sounds like... So.
It's because it's too used too, which is pretty cool. Here's what he said. He said that men who were 5'4" were 15% more likely to show signs of jealousy than men who were 6'6".
Well, it's because everyone's a threat who's taller.
And also somebody that's 6'6", like, everybody is jealous of them.
Yeah.
They don't understand jealousy. They just get through their life, like, skating by.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because so, everyone wants to, like, climb them like a tree.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that's it on the guys who dress up as Napoleon and do very bad things.
Wait, no one covered Napoleon Dynamite yet, though. I thought we were going to get
there. No, we weren't going to cover Napoleon Dynamite. No, that's not going to happen. That's going to be for next year. We will do that on Napoleon's death day. But now we're going to hear about the worst things that you people have all done.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Come one, come all, come bad people, come good people. Today, I judge not because I was just in Vegas and I can judge no one.
Sin City, baby.
Exactly. Like, listen to my voice. I've probably gotten like 2 hours of sleep in the last week, but that's okay. We're not here to talk about me. We're going to talk about you. So let's go on with our first firsty worsty.
Hi, guys. First, I just want to say how much I love your podcast. You guys are excellent and a great chemistry all together. So much fun. You make true crime fun. Anyway, I'm one of those who, I have so many worse things I've ever done that, I may be calling back, but, with more stories. But, this is the first worst thing I can remember. I was about 13 and I was asked to babysit a very nice new, family in town. So I went over to babysit and, it was right after Thanksgiving, and they had used all this special china in their house, and they had done it. It was like the special dishes they had, and they did a load of dishes. I mean, it must have been the day after Thanksgiving, so they had a load of dishes in the dishwasher that were done, and I decided to, like, go the extra mile and put everything away. And I don't quite remember how this happened, but as I was moving all their china somehow, everything fell and I broke all their dishes. And I mean, literally they crashed onto the floor and were all broken. And I did not know what to do. I was mortified. And so, the way I decided to handle this was I swept it. I put it all in a plastic bag and I took it out and I went into the neighbor's yard and I dug a hole and I buried it because I just could not face what I had done. And I actually went home and told my mom. I don't know, or maybe I told her a couple of months later, but anyway, so they never called me back again, but, I'm sure they scratched their heads for the rest of their lives, wondering what happened, what I could possibly have done with their dishes. So I wish I even knew their names. I would reach out and tell them. But All right. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Okay, so you broke all of Nana's special china. Okay, I love that the default for any crime, small or large, is to bury it somewhere. If it's buried in the ground, it doesn't exist. It didn't happen. I want to know more. I want to know, where'd you get the shovel to dig this hole? What time of year was it? Was the ground frozen? Was the ground soft? Yeah. Like, how were you like sweating, panicked? Like, how severe was the fear?
Or did she think that if she buried them, it was more like planting them, and then a tree with new plates would grow?
New china would emerge.
Honestly, I love that you buried them. It's not like you put them in a trash can down the street. You're like in the ground in the neighbor's yard.
And then someone's going to find them. And it's going to be like really old china from someplace else. And like 1,000 years from now, it's going to really, really confuse archaeologists.
They're going to be like, this is china from France. And it's fossilized in the ground. Yeah. Like, what is
this? Pangea. This was Napoleon.
This is Pangea.
How is this possible? I don't understand. Oh,
I'm dying to know also what your mom said. My mom would have made me go tell them because she's like moral like that. Hopefully she didn't make you, because if it was my kid, I'd be like, your secret's safe with me. That china never existed.
No. Oh, poor gal.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're cute that you care about it. And yes, please call back with your others, because if this is just the tip of the iceberg, I'm dying to know what you have next.
Yeah,
and you know, you should like take that china, dig it back up and like put it together in like a nice little art project or something.
Honestly, you know? You could make a mosaic wall at your home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there's stuff to be done with that. Don't just bury it and forget about it forever. Like, sell a new art piece on Etsy.
But how weird would it be if she was caught as an adult trying to dig it back up?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
What is this lady doing in her backyard?
That is true.
Oh my gosh. I love you. Well, don't beat yourself up. These things happen. And we're on to the next worsty firsty.
Hi, you guys. I am a huge fan. Love all three of you. I'm not going to say my name or where I'm from, because this story, I think, is still, I think people might be traumatized by it. But the worst thing I have ever done, and only about 5 people, 8 now, including you 3, know about this. And in high school, me and my girlfriends stole a bunch of fireworks and smoke bombs from our guy friend's garage. And we held on to them for so long. I don't even know why we thought we'd steal our fireworks. But we were driving around one night, windows down, music blasting, just having like the time of our sophomore lives. And we were driving past this house and we noticed that all of the senior boys were parked outside this one kid's house, and we thought, oh my gosh. And one of them had left their windows down, and we thought, let's put a smoke bomb in his car and just scare him. Like, they'll never know it was us, and it'll just be hilarious. It'll just be like, what the fuck, like, there's a smoke bomb in this guy's car. So we do that, we light it, and we drop it in. He had left his windows down like just the perfect amount for the smoke bomb. It looked like a little grenade. And all of a sudden, we're just down the street and we're watching it, and all of a sudden sparks start flying, because none of us had any idea what the hell to expect from a smoke bomb. We just thought you pull this little thing and it starts to smoke. No, it starts sparking everywhere, then a fire. So we all run down the street, get in the car, drive away. And we're all just like, fuck, 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 fuck. Like, what are we going to do? Like, holy crap. So we kind of just are like, no, it's fine. It's totally fine. We drive past the house again just to make sure, like, it's fine. Maybe they're coming out, like, thinking, like, oh, my gosh, your car's smoking, and then surprise, nothing. No, we drive past again. There's an ambulance, 2 fire trucks, this kid's car, a total blaze. This kid's car is on fire. They put the fire out, totally ruined, like, melted. We're so lucky it didn't explode. And we all just then went home in our perspective cars and drove home in silence and never talked about it again. And this poor guy was having to ride a bike to work for I don't even know how long till he bought a new car. And I still to this day feel so bad, because it was totally random whose car it was. His window just happened to be down. And so that is the worst thing I have ever done.
First of all, I'm going to do a little story time.
Oh.
You shouldn't feel that bad about this because yours was an accident. My car was fucked up by mean older girls all on purpose. And not only did they fuck my car up and total it, but they spray painted slut on it. Yes, when I was a virgin still. And I don't think they even feel bad. So you know what? You shouldn't feel bad. It was an accident. But this is the danger of pranks. Sometimes pranks go too far. And it was a mistake. I always look at the motive behind the act. You didn't mean to fuck this kid's life up. And I think you learned a valuable lesson. But you shouldn't feel that. It happens. He doesn't think about it anymore.
He probably thinks about it every once in a while.
I think every time he hears a loud noise or sees a spark, he's like, yeah.
I don't think he thinks about it. I think he went on to have many, many worse traumatic memories.
Just one of many.
And, yes. You know, I don't... You were in high school. This is when you make these kinds of mistakes, when you can't be charged as an adult.
I mean, so many kids have like a prank gone wrong. It's like just some go worse than others. And good thing that nobody got hurt, because that could have been, then there could have been an investigation. You'd have to like get your story straight. It would have been a whole thing. So, you know, shit happens. Smoke bombs, they go off all the time, right?
We forgive you. You should forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, I think that there's only one thing left to do, Miss Alexis.
All right. This very special poem is called The Costanza Complex.
Mm. Love it.
The Costanza Complex is quite an ailment, and one of the symptoms is self-derailment. Do you ruin your own life at every turn? Then you could have the Costanza Complex, and there's cause for concern. Are you pushy, irritable, petulant, loud? Do you respect personal space, or do you overcrowd?
No.
Do you ever have inexplicable mood swings? And are you aware of the hell that your presence brings? Are you hot-blooded, aggressive, and short? Then unfortunately, I have some disturbing news to report. Do you lie and create false propaganda? Well, then I fear you may have the complex of Costanza.
Wow. That was amazing and long. I'm shocked that you wrote such a long stanza.
Well, I kept having ideas. I kept having ideas and it couldn't stop.
Wow, that's good.
The Costanza complex. That's a modern day Napoleonic complex, and I definitely have it.
There you go.
Love it. Self-therapizing.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Happy Napoleon's and Dies Day.